And we're just going to give you real something, real brief and quickly this evening, and then we'll come back and take up our bus offering. Acts chapter 8. I'll show you another Bible revival. There's a Bible revival in Acts chapter 8, and it's just four things right quickly, and you'll see these things. You can teach on this. Can you get me up some, brother? Teach on this, preach on this. A Bible revival from Acts chapter 8. Most of you know the story there, and we won't even go into the story, the main story there in Acts 8, just the first part. And we'll look at it here, and the first thing I want to say is that it was born in trouble. It's very important you get this. Verses 1-3 tells us this revival was born during trouble. Look at verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. They just got through stoning a Christian. Now, it very well may be that before a real revival ever comes to America, that it's going to have to get that bad that they're going to start killing Christians. They already do it in other countries. And they're having revivals in other countries, a lot of places. But I don't know what it's going to take to get American Christians on their knees. But it could take some strong persecution. Communism or some kind of form of, something like that, of the government change. Matter of fact, I guess you'd heard about the elections, and I ain't pushing Democrat or Republican, either one. That's between you and the Lord. But as we know, our president will be leaving us probably in 1988, far as we know. And from what all indications I can hear, we're going to see some real changes in this land. I thank God for our president. He's not perfect, but I thank God for the stand he's taken on some moral issues. And brother, you're going to see some changes in 1988 and 89 when Mr. Reagan's gone. I have no idea who's going to be the next president, but it's very unlikely we'll find a man with the guts to stand. You know, America has almost become feared by other nations like she used to since he's been in power and, president office. But anyway, what I'm saying is it may take trouble to bring us to our knees. That most American churches I go to preach revivals, 90% of the church don't want a revival. They got nice cars. They live in level homes. They got food in the refrigerator. They've got cheese and crackers. They've got ham. They've got a fireplace. They've got a nice $900 television console, a stereo system, carpet that thick. They got nice bedroom with oak, cedar, whatever, furniture. They've got... They got a job. They bring home $400 and $500 a week. They have a savings account, two or three vacations a year paid. And you say, boy, we better get on our knees and pray to God. They'll look at you like, what's the matter with you? We've never had it better in our life. And materially, we haven't. And probably, it's going to take trouble to bring a revival to America. If we have one, the Lord's going to probably have to let a bunch of bad stuff in. Now, what we're praying for here in our church is that God will give us enough sense to get down on our knees when everything's going good and we are healthy. And, I ain't found out no bad news lately. Things are going good in my life. I'm healthy. I've got an automobile to drive. I've got a healthy family. Materially speaking, the Lord's blessed me. My bills are being paid and I get to eat every day. But you know what? I better not let that blind me. I better think, oh God, I'm a wretch. God, I need help. God, I want you to send revival. Look at all these people that's lost. It was born in trouble. Now look here what happened. The Bible said, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison, brother. They started putting people in jail for preaching and witnessing and God broke a revival out. Now, did you know what really probably before real revival comes? The pressure is going to have to be on. Persecution. It's amazing that the more persecution the devil hits the church with, the more the church will flourish and grow. And that's why they don't martyr Christians in this generation. They found out generations ago that if you martyr them, they multiply. And they said, there ain't no way you can deal with them people. You just got to discredit what they teach. And they're infiltrating now and making you doubt the Bible and writing 15 new ones every 10 years and trying to get us in that direction. But it was born in trouble. Not only that, number two, it began with an individual. Very important that you get this. It began with an individual. It did not begin with several people. It did not begin with a great denominational push and simultaneous, you know, putting up buildings. I'm not against that, but that is not the way a Bible revival began. Now, these days, we think, boy, if we can get them packed out, building, and we can get signs all over the country, and we can get a famous football player in to give his testimony, and here's a drug addict, somebody's been those angels or something, you know, and then we'll get a famous preacher in, and we'll have an entertainment for every moment of the service. Now, boy, God's surely going to bless. Now, I ain't really against getting all of that. I mean, advertising's good, and I believe in it. But that ain't the way a Bible revival started. It restarts somebody getting right with God. Somebody obeying God. Let's find out who the somebody was. Verse 5. Then Philip, thank God for that old boy, went down to the city of Samaria and done what? Preached Christ unto them, brother. He went down and preached. Now notice number 3. Well, I'm going to back up to number 2 right quick. But it began with an individual. Before I get to number 3, you better remember that most revivals have a humble beginning. And the fire begins, few warm hearts. These fellas meeting up here praying on Saturday night. By the way, we'll pray again Saturday night at 9 o'clock. You can come prepared to stay till 11 or 10 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or all night to church time Sunday morning if you want to. But there will be our meeting going on here Saturday night at 9 o'clock for the men. Ladies, you've been praying and hope you'll get together and pray more. Teenagers will be going out 2 o'clock Saturday. Knocking on doors. All the teenagers. We need about 40 of you up here. And we're going to spread out. Get every joint in town. You know, from the shopping centers everywhere. But anyway, it began with some individuals like that getting their hearts right with God. I don't know if I'm really on target by saying this or not. It's a thought. I'm kind of glad our revival's beginning on Wednesday. You know why? Because all it'll be here is just us. And we ain't going to have no big, humongous crowd. Wednesday night is usually your least crowd of the week. All your visitors come in Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Wednesday night, you got the home folk. And that's the night that a lot of people say, it ain't much tonight. I'm glad this revival's starting on Wednesday night. You know why? Sometimes we get keyed up much. I've noticed this every time we have a revival and every time we have a Bible conference. The first night when I walk in, I feel like I'm about to blow up. You know, you're so excited and you're so thrilled and the house is packed. And the first time anybody gets up and says, good to be here. You know, everybody's screaming. They're just so like a bunch of hungry wolves. And a lot of times if it starts out on a high note, it gradually gets worse as the week goes on and just fizzles out. Maybe this revival is going to start out little. It maybe just have a small crowd like I'm here tonight. Ralph might just preach a little old message and not much happen, but a little fire start burning. And then Thursday night get a little, you know, begin with an individual. I'm glad we're starting on Wednesday night. I want the Lord to deal with it. Now, our revival was supposed to start this past Monday night, but because of conflict in the schedule, he had to change it to next Wednesday night. And I believe the Lord's got a hand in that. So it begins with an individual. Not only that, right quickly, it brought unity to the people. It brought unity. Now this word unity is looked on as a bad word by us because it signifies ecumenicalism and all that. That ain't what it's talking about. They didn't all the devil worshipers and the Catholics and everybody get together. It got unity for the right thing. And there's nothing wrong with God's people that believe right being in unity. It brought unity. Matter of fact, we've got to have it. It brought unity among the people. Now, let me say this. We're not all going to agree on everything. You don't have to agree on every little thing to be in one mind, one accord. If you find a church that everybody agrees on every little tiny thing, you've got a church that's either some kind of cult or else the preacher's got them scared to death. And he's got them like in a cage and they're scared to move unless they look at him and get his approval. And that ain't right. That ain't God's way of having a church. Brother, the Lord deals with individual, and it brought unity among people here. In verse number 6, the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They heeded, there is such a word, they heard and they saw. And that's the way we can have revival. They got in one mind, one accord. They all got their mind wanting the same thing. They all said, hey, that's what I want. Philip got up and he said, Christ died for our sins. Yeah, that's right, Philip. Amen. We've got to evangelize the world. We've got to get right with God. All their minds started going in the same direction. They wasn't half of them sitting there saying, well, when are we going to get out? And how much longer is this going to last? And is he ever going to shut up? And this ain't as good as last night. I wonder who's going, why is she sitting over there? I wonder where he's at. They just forgot all that stuff and got in one mind and one accord. And they said little poems like this. Has my brother aught against me? Have I wronged him in the past? Have I harbored unkind memories? Have I false aspersions cast? Have I treated him with coldness, passed him by the other side? Then forgive me, O my brother. Do not stem revival tide. There might be a block in here tonight. Somebody may be holding an old grudge from years and years and years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before the church ever started. Something happened when you was little. You may be holding a grudge. Get it out. Get it out. Don't hold back. Get it out. And then the next thing is it brought out demons. It brought out demons. I should say cast out demons. I'll put brought out demons. I believe that's in verse number 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many of them that were possessed. Brother, business started picking up. And many were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Were healed. Brother, it brought out the devil. Now, if we have a touch of revival here next week, and by the way, let me say this too, folks. I was thinking about this earlier. Don't think that revival has to occur between Wednesday and Sunday. Don't box God into those 5 days. I personally think revival's already started with some people. We've seen a lot of people saved here in the last few weeks. A lot of people have got into bus ministry. They're knocking on doors, winning people the Lord. We've had a lot of people just personally lead people the Lord. That's some evidence of revival. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. That's a sign you really get right with God when you start witnessing. And boy, I tell you, you want to tell somebody else about it. Now, you know what? Don't confine the Lord to next Wednesday or Sunday. Say, all right, Lord, this is just a few days in our Somebody Cares program. This is just a few days in 8 weeks of a fall program. We just happen to be coming together here and preaching every night. You know what? I feel like the greatest blessings is going to be after the revival meeting. See, there'll be people coming here that's been riding up down the road looking at this church for months. And I'm going to put them a special invitation in the paper, in the newspaper, about Monday or Tuesday. And write them a special invitation for everybody to come and just, just say, come on, come on, come on. Try to get them in here just one time and let the Lord get a hold of them. And you know what will happen? A lot of them will come during that revival and they'll just sit back there and they'll listen and they'll look. A week or two later, it'll get on them. And they'll say, I'm going back to that church. And God, you wait and see. You wait and see. It brought out demons. The devil defeated. People got right. They quit their drinking. Somebody said, if all the sleeping folk would wake up, all the lukewarm folk would fire up, all the dishonest folks would confess up, all the disgruntled folks would sweeten up. All the discouraged folks would cheer up. All the depressed folks would look up. All the estranged folk would make up. All the gospelers would shut up. All the dry bones would shake up. And all the true soldiers would stand up. And all the church members will pray up. Then you can have revival. Amen. That's pretty good preaching there. And then we can have if we'll do that in one accord. And then the last thing, it blesses everybody. It blesses everybody. Look at that verse number 8 there. What does it say? Joy, right? Now, does that sound like what we studied last week? Remember last Wednesday night when we talked about Hezekiah over in the Old Testament and he had that revival and the great joy in Jerusalem? Something happens when a revival comes. The city has joy in it. There's peace in the air. People are smiling. Revival's come, brother. And that's the way God can do it and God will do it. Okay? I tell you what I want us to do. Let's get our musician, song leader come right quickly. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take up our bus offering. Ushers, get ready to come right now. First, let's bow our heads right now. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to say a special prayer right now for you that stood up a while ago. You that stood up a while ago. Ushers are coming. We're going to take up our offering. But first, we want to pray a special prayer for you that stood up a while ago. I appreciate you being man enough and woman enough to do that. I know the Lord's going to bless you for it. Now, dear Lord, I pray for these that stood up tonight. Lord, I know they've got a desire to have a revival, or they wouldn't have done that. It took a lot of courage for them to do it, and I praise you for them. Now, dear Lord, I pray right now that whatever that is in their life that's hindering them, that they need to get over, a stumbling block, something, God, move it right now. Let it start falling down. Let it begin to crumble. Move it, God, we pray. Now, dear Lord, I pray for these that didn't stand up but wanted to. It's all were up inside. You'd do the same thing for them. God, break my heart as a preacher. Lord, I know revival has got to start with me. God, help me to be a better preacher. If I've hurt anybody or failed any of these folks in any way, God, it wasn't on purpose. Please forgive me. God, forgive me for being weak. Help me to be a better pastor, a better witness, a better soul winner, a better husband, a better father, a better teacher, a better example, a better Christian. God, I want to do something about it. Instead of just saying I'm guilty, I want to do something about it. God, help us to be a soul winner this weekend. Lord, let us win somebody to you tomorrow. Lead us to whoever you want us to go to in this list. God, deal with that man that we're going to visit in the morning. God, get a hold of his heart. God, save him. Oh, God, save him. Hallelujah. God, break in on families. Lord, these families out yonder are going to hell. God, break in on them these next few days. Break in on us as your children. Meet with us Sunday. God, we're asking you to give us 500 in Sunday school Sunday. God, we pray that you would. God, you're able to do it. God, I pray I'd work hard and do my part. And everyone here would too. Oh, God, do it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd move upon this offering tonight. Let it be just what you want it to be.